You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, folks, here on Big Blue Views Audio Lineup. I'm Joe DeLeon, joined by Chris Flum for our next preview episode. Hopefully you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, you had some good turkey, and we've got a very interesting matchup for the Giants coming up this weekend. A Philadelphia Eagles team that started the game, horrendously, did not have a very good start, won their first game, went on a skid. Everybody was out on the Eagles, assuming that they were going to be bad like everyone thought at the beginning of the year. And as of late, they've been surging, playing some decent teams. They've gotten a win over the Broncos. They got a win over the Saints. That's put them at 5-6. That's putting them in a position to take that seventh wildcard spot, which, as we know right now, is not going to require a very good record. But whoever's going to be the closest to 500 is probably going to be headed to the playoffs in the NFC as that seventh wildcard team. But here in the situation for the Giants, they get to play this Eagles team that is surging right when they can't seem to be getting their stuff together. And Chris, it's actually kind of funny to think of it this way, where we almost thought that the Giants were starting to build some momentum, and the Eagles are the team that actually capitalized on building momentum and took advantage of it.
Yeah, it really is. And they're the team with the rookie head coach, and yeah, they're the team with the quarterback that, you know, people were out on after last year. You know, he was a curiosity. Jalen Hurts was a curiosity. Mm-hmm. Even up to about halfway through this year, everybody was looking and was like, well, this is a terrible year to need a quarterback. And it looks like the Eagles are going to have to draft a quarterback this year. But then, you know, a few weeks ago, something happened. And they basically completely changed their offense, and all of a sudden they found traction.
Right. That's the funny part that we're at right now with the Eagles, is that everyone was talking about, okay, they've got 3 first round picks. They're going to draft a quarterback. Who's it going to be? Who's going to replace Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts is not the guy. And they've kind of found their identity in terms of what's going to work best for them, which is running the ball more and using Jalen Hurts as the offensive weapon that he is, and rather than just asking him to sit back there and play quarterback. And right now, ironically, or interestingly enough, not so much ironically, he's leading the team in rushing. He's got about 600 rushing yards. So I think that opens up the question, Chris, like, should we be worried about Jalen Hurts, or is it more so that he just works well with everything around him and he's more of an effective runner rather than a killer passer?
I'm going to say we should be worried about him as a runner, because that really is the focus of the Eagles offense, and it's working really, really well right now. And they are one of the few teams that can say they run the ball to set up the pass. And their offense is going to probably look strange to a lot of particularly modern football fans, but it's really kind of an old school college offense. Like, it's the kind of offense we haven't really seen in the last 20 years or so, but it really does look like some early aughts Oklahoma football, with a lot of running and ambidextrous running. They're running to the left, running to the right, running up the middle, and then also a ton of read option running, and then building off of those concepts. And then they use that to create space for their receiving weapons, of which they have approximately 2.
See, like, that's the thing here, is where they realized that, and you would have thought that, Doug Peterson maybe would have figured this out at a certain point, but it takes Sirianni to realize that they don't have good receivers. Despite trying to draft guys, they're just not good. Devonta Smith is a good receiver, but he's a rookie, so you're not gonna necessarily get a huge dominant game out of him every single week. He's not Ja'Marr Chase, as it turns out. But here we are, though. They realize, you know what? It's not going to work if we throw the ball. Let's use what we have, which is a handful of good running backs and a quarterback who's a really talented runner.
Yeah, and it is working because they still do have a good offensive line. They've got a good run blocking offensive line. And Jalen Hurts is built like a running back. I mean, if you have a guy in the backfield who's 6 foot one, 220, 225 pounds, odds are he's your running back, especially if he runs a 4.5 40 and, you know, knows how to predict where blockers are going to be and, you know, set up his blocks. Like, Hurts is built and runs like a running back. He's not a quarterback who can run. He is really much more of a running back who can throw. And it is working to the Eagles' advantage, especially because, yeah, the NFL is not really set up to defend that sort of offense right now. Yeah, the NFL went through their read option phase. They went through that with the Dolphins in their Wildcat phase back in 2008. And then you had Michael Vick had his time back in the sun. And, you know, teams were looking for running quarterbacks, but then those guys started to get hurt and, you know, they didn't really keep it up. Now, that does, of course, lead to the question whether or not this kind of offense is sustainable for the Eagles. But right now, it is working for them.
Yeah, it is certainly working for them, and it has netted very positive results. And so, taking this from the perspective of this Giants defense, I'm wondering how well they're going to match up in this situation, because they have done an effective job, it seems like, defending the run for the most part. But I don't know if they've really been tested by a team that runs the ball the way that the Eagles do. If you think back to the most recent stretch of games, it's mostly been pass-heavy teams that are really good at throwing the ball, and Patrick Graham drew up a really good scheme. And it's going to be the complete opposite of that here. Is the emphasis needs to be on the run game. You can't necessarily do what you did against the Raiders and try to do against the Bucks, where you said, go ahead, run the ball. We're going to try and take everything away deep. That's not going to work in this game. They're going to have a completely different defensive approach.
Yeah, and I would say that the Giants kind of struggled to defend the run against the Cowboys. The Saints dropped 170 rushing yards on them. The Broncos, they held the Broncos in check up until the end of the game. But the Giants haven't really, like you said, faced a team quite like the Eagles, where, yeah, they can get the numbers advantage running the ball because their quarterback is a threat to run the ball on just about any play. Even if it's a passing play, a lot of their passes are designed to keep the scramble as a viable option. And right now he's scrambling more than any other quarterback, and that includes guys like Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. And he's picking up more yards doing it. He's averaging, I think, 6.2, 6.3 yards per carry, and he's got 8 rushing touchdowns. So,
holy crap.
Yeah. that is a definite threat. And, you know, considering all of the different wrinkles the Eagles have put into their run game, what worries me is the consistent issues the Giants have had, both setting an edge on defense and also just being disciplined on defense. You know, guys being in their positions, you know, honoring their run fits, tackling well, taking good angles to the ball, you know, all the things we spent a lot of time talking about when we went over the Buccaneers game. Mm-hmm. The Eagles are probably going to test that even more than the Buccaneers did.
Yeah, the stuff that was problematic for the Giants in this past game was that Byron Leftwich, Tom Brady, Bruce Arians realized if we just take what they're giving us, we're going to slowly chip away, and we don't necessarily need to put up 45 points. They probably could have, but the approach just seemed to be, let's just take what they're giving us. It's going to take up a lot of clock. It's going to tire out the defense. By the end of the game, we're going to have them beat, and we're going to be able to do whatever we want as long as we stay consistent with that. And they ran the ball really well. They picked up good, just enough chunks, and then a lot of dump offs to the running backs early on. And that's what started to chip away at this Giants defense. And it seems like this Eagles team does that pretty well. And that has to be the point of emphasis here, is tell them to take deep shots. Like, go for it. Take deep shots. You should not allow anything that is close to the line of scrimmage, any of those flare routes that killed them against the Bucs, and you also can't allow them to run the ball. Let them throw the ball deep. They don't do it effectively, and they're not going to do it effectively.
No, I would hope that Graham would play, balancing man and zone against an option team is tricky, because you've got RPOs that can take advantage of zone coverage, and then read option can really victimize man coverage. But if they can effectively mix those up and maybe give Hurts some looks he's not expecting or he can't decipher, the Giants have the personnel, I think, to be able to contain the Eagles as long as everybody does their job. And it's going to put a lot of stress, I think, on those young edges the Giants have, on Azeez Ojulari, Quincy Rocha, O'Shane Zimenez, if he plays, Lorenzo Carter, if he plays, Ellerson Smith. And the interior defensive line should be okay. I kind of worry about the linebackers just because they don't have Blake Martinez there. I would trust him to be able to sift through all of the, just everything, and be able to follow and find the ball. I'm not sure if Tate Crowder, Benardrick McKinney, Reggie Ragland, if those guys have quite the same football acumen as Blake Martinez does. But then with the secondary, this Eagles offense, it's kind of like it matches up oddly with the Giants defense, in that it almost ignores the Giants defense's greatest strength, which is their secondary.
Right. And flipping the script now, Chris, to talking about this Eagles defense, they have what is probably going to be one of the most difficult, fully healthy, or at least I believe fully healthy, defensive lines that they're going to face, or that they have faced. And that's crazy to say, because they played the Broncos, they played the Bucs last week, but they were missing a bunch of people. But this group has been a big reason why they've had success recently. Josh Sweat, as we know, is really turning into a really talented pass rusher. Derek Barnett, who we were talking about before the show, it's crazy to say that the guy's only 25 years old and it feels like he's been in the league for a really long time. But that's not even the only guy that's going to kill him. All the usual suspects, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Vernon Hargrave, those guys are all still a problem. So here we are, another week, another hard defensive line to go up against, and the Giants' offensive line is barely staying afloat.
Yeah, it was kind of sobering to look at ESPN's updated pass rush win rate for the edges and interior defensive line and realize each of the Eagles' starting defensive linemen, their two edges, Sweat and Barnett, and their two interior linemen, Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave, are each in the top 10 for pass rush win rate. Now, they haven't been getting as many sacks as I think we expected them to, but they're still really, really good at beating blockers, and they can be very disruptive in the backfield. Sweat is an athletic freak. That's just the only way to describe him. He is fast, he is agile, he is twitchy, and he's versatile. The Eagles have kind of been using him occasionally as a zone defender on zone blitzes, which is something I think we'll get to in a little bit. But then you've got Barnett, who's got really good short area quickness. He's got great power, good leverage, and he's a technician out there. Fletcher Cox is still Fletcher Cox. He's having a down year production wise, but that's starting to pick up now that their offense is picking up. And he is just one of these savvy linemen who's seen everything, kind of like Ndamukong Suh. He isn't quite what he used to be, but he's still good. And then Javon Hargrave has stepped up. I think he's ESPN's third-ranked pass-rushing defensive tackle, which is not something I think Giants fans want to hear, especially considering the way the offensive interior looked Monday night.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. That's exactly where we're at right now, is that their interior is terrible right now. Their interior offensive line is clearly the problem. Not that Nate Solder or whoever's playing right tackle is very much better, but to now face a group that has not just one talented player, but multiple talented players that can wreak havoc, that's going to be a handful. That is going to require a lot of attention. And I almost wonder, you know, with Freddie Kitchens' first time calling the plays, what the approach is going to be. Are they even going to be able to really stretch the field? Are they going to be forced to just get the ball out as quickly as possible? They could very well be in that type of a position.
Yeah, and this could wind up being a very tough matchup for the Giants. I don't really expect dynamic changes to their offense, you know, especially not on a short week that with a holiday in the middle of it. The players they have are the players they have. And yeah, they're not all of a sudden going to turn Evan Ingram into Rob Gronkowski in his prime. Daniel Jones isn't suddenly going to morph into Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. Kenny Golladay isn't going to be Plaxico Burress in his prime. Yeah, you know, they have the hand they've been dealt right now. And there are things the Giants can do, I think, to use their players more effectively. But this matchup up front has the potential to derail all of it. You know, I'm sure the Giants are going to want to run the ball. I'm sure they're going to want to attack downfield more. I don't think they're going to want to throw the ball 3 yards again, but they might be forced to. And you know, the Eagles secondary, you know, Darius Slay is playing very well. The rest of their secondary is fine. It's not as bad as it used to be. A couple years ago, it was embarrassingly bad. But they've gotten a few young guys. They've gotten some, you know, Anthony Harris is a good safety. They've gotten a few younger guys who are playing reasonably well. And they've got guys who can capitalize when this defensive line gets disruptive.
Exactly. So that's also what I think adds to why this defense is surprisingly so good. They have all these guys on their defensive line that we knew were really good. But when a quarterback's under duress, the secondary can take advantage of that. And it's kind of the opposite of what we see with the Giants, where the secondary does all the work and the defensive line sometimes capitalizes on it. But here we are now with the Eagles. They have the guys that can create and finish off plays if the defensive line puts them in that position. You were talking about earlier how they're not really like a sack productive group, but they are a very disruptive one that leads to these mistakes from these quarterbacks. And again, something that you don't want to be seeing if you're Daniel Jones.
No, not at all. And to take a step back, there was the article, I think it was from Pro Football Focus a couple years ago, basically saying that investments in the secondary are more important than investments in pass rushers. And this kind of the developments of the Giants and Eagles defenses are kind of why I disagree with that analysis. Yeah, it wasn't all that long ago where the Giants were the ones who created the phrase, you can never have enough pass rushers. Well, it's been a while since the Giants have really heavily invested in their pass rush. The Eagles mirrored the Giants defense for a long time, which, considering for a while, it had the Giants defense had Steve Spagnuolo's fingerprints all over it, and he learned from his time in the Eagles organization. So it makes sense that the two defenses were similar. But ever since then, the Eagles have more or less stayed true to that ethos, and the Giants haven't. And I think having the ability to attack an offense, to attack into the backfield, that to me is just a little bit more important than investing so heavily in the secondary. Of course, both are obviously important. Both pass rushers and coverage players are cornerstone positions, but I don't know, just being able to directly affect quarterbacks like that, just given the rules of the game right now, seems a little bit more valuable to me.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. The last thing though that you made note of here, Chris, that I want to bring up is that, you know, the impact that we get from, or the impact that they have from running a lot of zone. And then also the utilization of zone blitzes, which makes that pressure group all the more dangerous, that they're able to blitz the way that they do.
Yeah, the Eagles didn't really blitz much this year. I think they have something like the third lowest blitz rate, but lately they've been doing more of that. They've been dropping guys like Josh Sweat and Barnett into coverage in zone blitzes, and they've been doing a lot more mixing and matching of coverage shells. They're not just sitting in cover three and more or less letting offenses do what they want. They're playing cover two, cover three, cover four, hybrid coverages like cover six, and forcing offenses to do a lot more reading and changing things up on them. And then when you do that and you have guys who are capable of effectively dropping into coverage and making plays on maybe quick passes underneath, like Sweat is able to do, that opens up the ability to send pressure from unexpected locations. And it, combined with the way the Eagles are playing offense right now, putting points up on the board, they've put up 40 points, then they put up another 30 points in a third game. Yeah, that makes life a lot easier on the defense, and the way they're able to control the clock also starts to make opposing offenses more desperate, which can lead to more mistakes.
And mistakes tends to be the common thing that we talk about with this Giants offense, and hopefully there are less of them with a different offensive coordinator. We'll have to see how Freddie Kitchen does in his debut, but that will be coming up on Sunday. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to stay up to date. Talk to you soon.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser, like the National Republican Senatorial Committee, and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.